We've been talking about artificial creativity in this hour, but there are still limits to what creative machines can do. For instance, as far as I know, a computer still can't have a baby. And a computer certainly can't write all the songs to an album while pregnant. But country musician Amanda Shires did both. At the time, Amanda was playing fiddle on the road for her husband, the country superstar Jason Isbell. Near the end of her pregnancy, touring got to be too much. So she stayed home, alone, for weeks, with nothing to do but write songs. And the result is her new album, My Piece of Land. Amanda Shires and her guitar player joined Charles Monroe Kane live in our studios to play and talk about how her pregnancy inspired the new album.
I was at home a lot and didn't have a lot to do, so I wrote songs.
How far along were you as you were writing them?
I got off the road at 34 weeks, I think, or so. And, you know, you can't really fly or tour anymore, so I just went home and started putting together the crib and doing some cleaning, nesting. And then when everything that I could do, all the chores ran out, I just started writing.
Is there a dark side to the 9 months pregnant, alone in the house, writing songs?
There isn't a dark side, really. It's more of like when you have never had a child before, like I hadn't before, you don't know what to expect. You know, you could read all the books or, you know, listen to everybody's stories about it, their personal experiences, but you don't have any experience of your own to draw from. So, I mean, the other side of it is, there's nothing lost. It's all a gain. You know, everything is much fresher and more beautiful.
There's one song I want to ask you about, the song Slippin', because I was listening to it. I'm a man, obviously, and I was thinking from my perspective to that song and picturing my wife at home writing that song, and which would be a powerful experience. Can you tell me about that song? Because to me, that song seemed almost like, it's like a pre-reprimand or something. Like, it was a very strong song for a mother and about to be a mother and a wife to write, I thought.
The song Slippin', my husband is in recovery, and he's almost 5 years clean and sober. So, and that, you know, pregnancy brings with it some a lot of hormones, and sometimes with hormones and your changing body, you sort of find yourself with a little more self-doubt than normal. And the idea of it came as like all ideas come to you when you're walking around during the day thinking, well, I hope he doesn't fall off the wagon today. This would be a bad time for that to happen. And then it became for me a conversation that I was having with my imaginary audience. And then I wrote that song. A lot of times, fears that are internal, you know, I don't know, things that you think are bigger beasts when they haven't been given names. So after I wrote the song, it was not so much a fear anymore, because like all things in the dark, you give it a name and it's not so scary anymore.
Absolutely. Thank you.
See, I don't know if we've done this one in a while.
We haven't.
Okay.
One, two, one, two, three.
Starts the fire, a handful of matches, some faulty wiring. You'll say you have this hollow feeling, like something's always been missing. Tonight could be the night you go slipping away. Tonight could be the night you go slipping away. Tonight could be the night you go slipping away from me. Mm-hmm. start driving south, stopping somewhere, Mississippi. You think nobody sees you and no one is looking. And when no one is looking, no one is looking. Tonight could be the night you go slipping away. Tonight could be the night you go slipping away. Tonight could be the night you go slipping away from me. Tonight could be the night you go slipping away. Tonight could be the night you go slipping away. Tonight could be the night you go slipping away from me.
Hey, one personal clap.
There we go.
That's fantastic. So you wrote all those songs, you have these fears. Of course it all worked out. You had a a baby.
Yeah, all the hopes, all the fears, all the joy. So
you're in Madison right now. We're in Madison, Wisconsin. You're on tour. Your husband's on tour. He's a musician as well. He's on tour. He's in Georgia today. Mm-hmm. He's performing the same time you are, but another state. Your daughter's with him. I think of that, and I'm like, how do you do that? How do you pull off the relationship with both of them in this crazy way that the road is?
We're still figuring that out, I think. But right now we try to just, you know, keep the communications open and try and encourage one another. And I can't comfortably bring her on tour with me in the 15-passenger van that I ride around in, not when Jason has the means and luxury of having a tour bus and stuff. You know, it's an easier travel day for her if she can sleep while the bus is moving and wake up and be wild and free. Whereas, you know, in the touring lifestyle that I live in is a, you know, I sit in the back in the one of the seats and sit there all day until I get to somewhere and hop out and unload stuff. So it works right now for her to be in a safer place. And then as far as time apart, that's been a difficult thing, but something I think we're learning more about as we go.
I have a question about another song, if you don't mind me asking, and it sounds like an odd thing to ask. It's about the song Harmless, which really blew me away, and I guess it seems to be, if you look at it on the internet, seems to be blowing a lot of people away. Is, I read a lot into that song, and I'm not sure I'm right at all, but I read a lot into that song, and I'm
wondering... I love it when people read their own things into it. That means you're doing something right.
Oh, good. Well, you're doing something right, because I was like, oh, this means this, this, and this, and this is what she's trying to tell me. I'm like, well, how could she tell me this, because she doesn't even know me. What is it about?
What is it about to you first? Well, before for me, I ruin your ideas.
No, that's fine. For me, it's about, you know, the scenario of, like, going to the bar, flirting with somebody at the bar, and taking that line just to the edge where you're not really cheating on your spouse, but like you're flirting really hardcore and everyone's pushing that line, and it's not harmless. That's not a harmless thing to do. And we do it all the time. It's a dangerous thing to do. And that's why we do it, I think, or why I do it.
I think you're dead on.
Oh, okay.
A phased golden light rained down from the street light. It fell across your shoulder, paused just above your collar, like it had something to show me, as if I wasn't already noticing. Your eyes a shade of wonder, like if thunder had a color. It could have been harmless, wanting to see if I could get a little closer and walk away breathe. Exactly is the vibe. Too early to
That song blows me away. That's very, I haven't had feeling from a song like that in a long time. And it reminds me, like, what toll does it have on you singing something over and over again? Like, is it just whatever after a while? Or does it just keep it, you just keep bleeding on it all over and over again on the stage?
I think the way we approach music is that we play a song as if we're never going to get to play it again. Because we're constantly trying to remind ourselves to live in the present moment.
So you've played hundreds of thousands of songs. Every time you play one of the songs for other people, you just said you'd do it like you'll never play it again?
Yeah, I learned that from I used to be in this band called the Texas Playboys, a Western swing band when I was about 15.
Oh my God, I love that band. I didn't know you were in that band.
Yeah, I did Western swing for a while. I don't do Western swing anymore, but it was a big part of my life. And I learned a lot about performance and showmanship and music from those guys. And other than having, you know, clean clothes and, you know, coming to the show with all your gear working, you know, normal things, they gave me other pieces of advice like... sing this one like it's the last time you're going to sing it. And it keeps you focused on living in the moment and not living in your performance yesterday or what you have to do tomorrow. It keeps you, you know, right there, centered.
Do you have another song for us we could kind of out with? Oh, yeah, I got loads of them.
This is called Pale Fire.
One, two, one, two, three.
Amanda Shire's new album is called My Piece of Land. She talked with Charles Monroe Kane.